Please turn again to that portion of Scripture that Dr. Douglas read just a few minutes ago, Acts chapter 13. Good to see so many here tonight. And if you're here for the first time, let me give you a personal welcome. We do thank you for coming. And we do pray that the Lord will bless you, indeed bless us all, as we gather around God's precious word this evening. And we have enjoyed the presence of the Lord night by night. And I know that my own heart has been blessed. And especially in the times of prayer beforehand, before the gospel meeting has commenced, there has been a great spirit of prayer. And we have been enjoying the presence of the Lord even before the main meeting has commenced. And I know that many of you can't get to the prayer meeting before the service. It's just not possible. And I know that you've been praying at home, and I would exhort you to keep on praying. The end is not yet. We thank God that the Lord is working and that the Lord is still able to save to the uttermost all that come to Him. And our prayer tonight is that if you're found here and you're not saved, that you will even tonight come and trust the Lord. Come and find eternal salvation. And if you have been coming to the mission, and as I look around, I see many folk who have been here almost every night. If you've been coming almost every night and you're still not saved, let me ask you a question even before we start tonight. Why are you not saved yet? Then you can get saved tonight. And I pray that even this evening, as the Lord has been working on your heart, whether you're young or whether you're old, I pray that you'll come right through for Christ this evening. You know, why not come to the meeting rejoicing in the Lord? Why not come and sit the last nights of this mission knowing that you're on your way to heaven instead of coming and sitting in misery? Because friend, if you're not saved, that's your situation. You're sitting in misery. Why not come to the Lord tonight? And then you can spend the rest of the mission praising the Lord, and even bring others in. You got saved tonight, the Lord would give you a burden and a desire to go out and ask your loved ones to come, your friends and your family, and you could even bring them into the mission before the mission's over. See them saved. There's no knowing what the Lord could do with your life tonight, young person, older person, if you got saved tonight. And I pray that that will be the case. We want to encourage you to get saved. We want to exhort you to come to the Lord. There's no life like the Christian life. There's no peace like the peace of God. It passeth all understanding. A wee Scottish woman once said, it's better felt than telt. And you know that's true. You need to experience God's salvation for yourself. And you know, we could stand here and we could preach all night and all week and all year, trying to explain to you the wonder of God's salvation and the joy of God's salvation. But the truth is, until you experience God's salvation yourself, you're not going to know anything about it. Oh, my friend, I pray tonight that you'll come to the Lord. We just want to read a few verses, again, from that portion of Scripture in Acts chapter 13, verse 6. And when they had gone through the isle unto Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew, whose name was Bar-Jesus, which was with the deputy of the country, Sergius Paulus, a prudent man, who called for Barnabas and Saul and desired to hear the word of God. But Elymas the sorcerer, for so is his name by interpretation, withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. Let's bow just in a wee word of prayer and ask the Lord for his help as we come to consider the truth of the gospel tonight. Father in heaven, we thank thee for your presence with us again this evening. We come, Lord, tonight, and we do pray for that fresh and filling of the Holy Spirit. Oh God, we're so conscious. Lord, we're so conscious again tonight. Lord, without thee, we can do nothing. We thank thee, Lord, that the word of God is quick and is powerful, and it's sharper than any two-edged sword. Oh God, help us tonight again to preach the word of God. And we pray, Lord, that as we seek to preach thy word, that we might know the help from the Lord. And we pray for those who are unsaved in the meeting. Oh God, we're thankful for their attendance night by night. We thank the Lord for bringing them in
under the sound of thy word. But Lord, show them tonight that they must strive to enter in at the straight gate. For, oh God, time is hastening on. Very soon the mission will be over. Very soon this effort will be over. Oh God, and we pray that they will not miss their opportunity. They will not miss this opportunity. But, oh God, that they will come to know the Lord Jesus as their own and personal Redeemer. Bless us now, we pray thee. Help us, Lord, tonight. For it's in Jesus' precious name we ask it. Amen. During the earthly ministry of the Apostle Paul, he went on three great missionary journeys. And during those missionary journeys, he pointed many precious souls to Christ. He saw many churches planted, and he did a mighty work for God. And many, many were the saved that he encouraged. And during his missionary journeys, there was a great work done for time and for eternity. When we come to Acts chapter 13, the Apostle Paul is on his first missionary journey. Now, it's interesting when you study Paul's first missionary journey, because he went to the island of Cyprus. And that's interesting because he never went back to Cyprus on his second and his third missionary journey. Therefore, when we come to Acts chapter 13, we have Paul along with Barnabas in the first missionary journey, and they travel to the island of Cyprus. And when they arrive at Cyprus, they preach the gospel in the city of Salamis. Now, we're not told here whether anyone got saved at Salamis. Certainly the word of God went forth, and I have no doubt that it went forth in power and in the demonstration of the Holy Spirit. But then after they preached the word in Salamis, they traveled across the island to the city of Paphos. And there again, they preached the gospel. But this time, we are told that a man by the name of Sergius Paulus was gloriously and wondrously saved for time and for eternity. And in this portion of Scripture, we have the circumstances surrounding the conversion of Sergius Paulus. And very simply tonight, I want to draw your attention at the close of this gospel meeting. I want you to draw your attention to the circumstances surrounding the conversion of Sergius Paulus. And we will notice very definitely in the story that the devil, Satan, sought to prevent Sergius Paulus from coming to a knowledge of the truth. Indeed, in the story of Sergius Paulus, we see in a very clear way Satan's opposition to sinners that are interested in the gospel and in the word of God. My friend, maybe that's you tonight. You have an interest in the things of God. You have an interest. That's why you're here. But I ask you the question again. If you have an interest, and I believe the interest is there, then why are you not saved by the grace of God? There can only be one reason. The devil is doing everything within his power to prevent you from coming to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, I pray tonight that the Lord will take such a dealing with your heart, and that the Lord will step into your life, and that this night, or this meeting goes out into eternity, that you will come right through for the Lord and be saved for time and for eternity. Now, before we see the activity of Satan here, I want you to notice, first of all, the desire that Sergius Paulus had. Take a look with me at verse 7, and you'll read these words. Sergius Paulus, a prudent man, who called for Barnabas and Saul, and desired. Note what the Bible says. He desired to hear the word of God. The desire of Paulus was to hear the word of God. As soon as this deputy had heard that Paul and Barnabas were preaching the word of God, he called for them so that he too could hear this wonderful message for himself. Now, he probably had heard of what had happened in Salamis, the other major city of Cyprus, through the preaching of Paul and Barnabas. And now that they had come to his city, Paphos, he desired to hear from them the precious scriptures of truth. Now, it's interesting because at this point in his life, he was not saved. He was not a Christian. So here we have a man. He's an unsaved man. He doesn't know the Lord Jesus Christ as his own and personal Redeemer. And yet, he has this desire within his heart to hear the preaching of God's precious, precious word. You know what? That was a good desire. It's always a good desire to want to hear God's word, whether you're saved or not saved. As Paul and Barnabas were going to find out, as they continued in their missionary journeys, there were many, and they weren't going to want to hear the word of God. There were many who were going to be hostile to the missionaries and to the preachers and to the evangelists. But not at this time, as far as Sergius Paulus was concerned, although he was unsaved, although he had no knowledge of Christ as far as salvation was concerned, as soon as he heard that these preachers had come to his city, there was a desire within his heart to hear the preaching of the Word of God. And notice exactly what the Bible says there. Underline it in your Bible. He desired to hear the Word of God. I know there are people in this meeting tonight, and you're not saved. And yet, you have a desire to come and hear the Word of God. As I look down in this congregation this evening, there are those, and you're not born again of the Spirit of God, but night by night, you have come into this mission. And the only conclusion that I can come to is that you have a desire to hear the gospel message. And my friend, that's a good desire. Because as we look around us in this world tonight and look out into Lisburn and across Northern Ireland, there are many, many ungodly men and women, and they have no desire to be in God's house at all. They have no desire to come and hear the preaching of Christ. But you have that desire. That's why you're here tonight. And it's a good desire. But friend, let me tell you something. And I want you to listen to this very carefully. Although you have a desire to come and hear God's word, that desire is not good enough to save your soul. That desire is not good enough to get you into heaven. That desire is not good enough to save you from hell. And the truth is that you could come to God's house every week until the day you die. But if you were not saved and born again of the Spirit of God, then the truth is, you would be lost forever and forever and forever. Because although it was a good desire to want to hear God's word, it is not enough to save your precious, precious soul. And we emphasized that on Sunday night when we considered Nicodemus. Nicodemus, as we said, was a religious man. And he was a man who was full of religion. And yet the Lord Jesus Christ said to him, Nicodemus, ye must be born again. And my friend, let me emphasize to you tonight again, although it's good to see you, and we would encourage you to come back again tomorrow night and the rest of the nights of the mission, it's not enough just to come to the mission, and it's not enough just to come to church, and it's not enough just to read your Bible, and it's not enough just to come and hear the preachers as they declare the unsearchable riches of Christ. You need to be saved by God's grace, and you need to come and put your faith in the Lord Jesus. You need to come tonight, and you need to accept Him as your own and personal Redeemer. You need to step out for Christ. You need to come in repentance and faith to the foot of the cross. And you need to turn away from your sin and seek the Lord while He may be found and call upon Him while He is near. So that's why I say tonight, that's why I say to you this evening, although you have a desire to come and hear the Word of God preached, and we are delighted that you have come, more than delighted that you have come, our prayer is that you will come to know the Lord and find eternal redemption. Now, what about the working of Satan here? I want you to notice his distraction, the distraction of Sergius Paulus. Take a look with me at verse 8. It says, But Elymas the sorcerer, for so is his name by interpretation, withstood them. Now, underline this. Seeking to turn away the deputy. That's Sergius Paulus. Seeking to turn away Sergius Paulus from the faith. This false prophet tried to turn Paulus away from getting saved. He tried to stop this deputy from coming to Christ. Amos tried everything within his power to distract this man from receiving the Word of God. You know what a picture we have here of the activity of Satan. Now I know that we live in this 21st century and many people tell us that the devil is not real. They don't believe in the personality of the devil. But my friend, when we turn to the Word of God, the Bible teaches us clearly that the devil is a real person, just as real as you and I. And he has real power, because the Bible tells us that he's the prince of the power of the air. And the Bible also tells us not only that the devil is a real person, and not only that he has real power, but he has a real plan for every unsaved person in this meeting tonight. And especially those who have a desire to hear the Word of God. Especially those who have a concern for their soul. And his plan is to do everything within his power to stop you, to prevent you, to distract you from coming to the saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. My friend, the devil will do everything to turn you away from the truth of the precious Word of God. The Bible says that the god of this world, who is the devil, hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ should shine in unto them. And that's a fact. And I know that we live in an age when people just don't believe in the devil anymore. But my friend, Satan is real. And we have enjoyed the presence of the Lord, and the Lord is with us tonight, and we're so thankful that the Lord is here. But the truth is, the devil's here. And we have been conscious of that as well. And my friend, the devil's plan and the devil's purpose is to stop you from receiving the Word of God and receiving the message of the gospel and receiving the Lord Jesus Christ into your heart as your own and personal Savior. That's what's happening here. We have a man, he's unsaved, but he has a desire to hear the Word of God. Paul and Barnabas are the missionaries, and they have come to his island, the island of Cyprus, and they have now landed in his city, the city of Paphos. And as they stand up to preach the Word of God, Sergius Paulus is one of the first ones to go and hear them. But the devil has his agent there, this false prophet. And there's no doubt that this false prophet was an agent of the devil. Look at verse 10. And Paul said, O full of all subtlety, speaking to this Elymas, and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? And that's the plan of the devil in the sinner's life, especially those who have an interest in the things of God. There's a verse I want you to turn over to. It's found in Luke's Gospel, and it's the chapter 8. And I want you to underline it in your Bible, because it describes to us simply and forcibly the activity of the devil. Look what it says there in verse 12 of Luke's Gospel, chapter 8. Those by the wayside are they that hear. Well, what do they hear? They hear the Word of God. Isn't that what Sergius Paulus wanted to hear? He had a desire to hear the Word of God. And immediately he had that desire, although he wasn't saved, the devil was right there, seeking to stop him from hearing the Word of God. That's what this verse is teaching. When they hear, then cometh the devil. Look what it says, my friend. It's in black and white. Then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts. Why? Why would he do that? Why would the devil seek to take the Word of God out of your heart? Sinner, listen to me. You're in the gospel meeting tonight. You're here to hear the Word of God, to listen to the preaching of the gospel. You've been coming night by night. A and you've enjoyed the preaching of God's word. You've come back to hear more. But the devil has been here. And there's a reason why he's here. He's not just here as a spectator. He's not just here to make up the numbers. He's here to catch away the word out of your heart. Why? Well, look at the verse. What does it say? Lest they should believe and be saved. See that? Lest they should believe and be saved. The devil does not want you to believe on the Son of God and receive everlasting life. He does not want you to be saved. He does not want you to be born again of the Spirit of God. He does not want you to be redeemed by the precious blood of Christ. And he will do everything within his power to stop you from coming to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, we have here Satan's opposition to sinners that are interested in the gospel. Friend, I believe with all my heart that there are those in this meeting tonight who are interested in the gospel. I believe that the Lord has been speaking to you. And I believe that you've come to hear the word of God. But I have to say tonight that the devil's here to seek to snatch away that word. To snatch it out of your heart. You'll notice here in this text of Scripture the moment of Satan's opposition. When does he begin his evil work? Well, the text says, as soon as the word of God is planted in the heart, look what it says, they hear, then, immediately they hear the word of God, then cometh the devil. Before you'll get out of this meeting tonight, my friend, before you leave this meeting tonight, the devil will begin his evil work of seeking to snatch away the word out of your heart. Before I even finish preaching tonight, the devil will seek young person to snatch away the word of God out of your heart. The word that has been sown in past nights. We have enjoyed the presence of the Lord here in this place over these past weeks. We have known the help of the Lord in the preaching of the word. But I wonder, has the devil even snatched away that word that has been preached so far away from your heart? And even tonight, he's beginning to do the same again. The devil has power. He has the power to catch away the word out of the heart. And here we have Sergius Paulus, and he has this desire to hear the word of God. And as soon as he goes to hear the preaching of the gospel, the devil's there to seek to turn away the deputy from the faith. The devil doesn't want you to put your faith in the Lord Jesus. He doesn't want you to go to heaven. He wants to bring you down into hell because he knows that very soon that's where he's going. Oh, my friend, can you see the activity of the devil here? But I want you to notice something else here, because thank God the story doesn't end there. We're dealing here with the circumstances surrounding the conversion of Sergius Paulus. We have been looking this week from Sunday night at some of the conversions in the Bible. And on Sunday night we looked and considered about the conversion of Nicodemus. And last night we considered and looked a little about the conversion of the Philippian jailer. Well, this man, Sergius Paulus, thank God he was gloriously saved. Look what it says there in verse 12. Then the deputy, when he saw what was done, believed, being astonished at the doctrine of the Lord. Now, in order to see his deliverance, you really need to read from verses 9 to 12. And if you take the time to study those verses, you will see very clearly that this man, Sergius Paulus, he was delivered from the power of Satan. He was delivered from the power of sin, and he was delivered by the power of the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And that day, as he heard the word, he turned to the Lord and was gloriously converted for time and for eternity.
My friend, I want to say this tonight, and I want you to listen. While the devil is powerful, the Lord Jesus is all powerful. And while the devil is mighty, the Lord Jesus is almighty. And praise God, the Bible says that he is able to save to the uttermost all that come to him. And thank God, if you tonight were to close in with his free offer of salvation, he would forgive you for your sins. He would cleanse you. He would save you from the clutches of the devil. He would save you from the power of sin. And he would deliver you mightily. You know, there's a wonderful text in the Bible. It's found in 1 John chapter 3. Just turn over to 1 John chapter 3 for a moment. What does it say in verse 8? It says this. He that committeth sin is of the devil. The devil's in this verse as well. For the devil sinneth from the beginning. But look what it says at the latter end of the verse. And it's really the latter end of the verse I want you to see. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Oh, praise God, Sergius Paulus was delivered in Acts chapter 13 because of the power of Christ, because of the gospel. Paul preached the gospel. Paul preached the gospel in all its fullness. Paul preached the gospel in its power. Sergius Paulus came right through for the Lord. The Lord dealt with the false prophet. And as I said, take time when you go home and read the verses there, and you'll see exactly what happened. But the point I want to make is this, that the deputy stepped out for Christ and he believed. He trusted the Lord Jesus as his own and his personal Savior. Oh, my friend, what are you going to do tonight? The meeting is almost over. What are you going to do tonight with the Savior? You've been coming in night by night. You've been listening to God's Word. I believe that the Lord has given you a desire to come and hear that Word. But night by night, as the meeting has ended, you've gone out unsaved. And you've listened to the lie of the devil. And the truth is that the devil will whisper many different lies in your ear. He'll do everything in his power to stop you. He'll tell you, well, what will your friends say? If you were to get saved tonight in Lisburn Free Presbyterian Church, what would your workmates say tomorrow? I need to put that doubt in your mind. How could I go out and face my friends tomorrow if I become a Christian tonight in this place? You know, that's the way the devil worked in my heart, in my life, before I was a Christian. I was saved when I was 13 years of age. But you know, before I was saved, the Lord spoke to me for many years. Sent along to children's meetings and heard the gospel faithfully preached. And many times wanted to come to the Lord. And I can remember meetings where I almost stayed behind. Where the Lord spoke to me, even as a child. But you know why I never came to Christ? Because I was always afraid of what people would say. Now, I was only a child. I was only a young boy. I wasn't out in the world. Wasn't out drinking in the pubs. Wasn't out dancing in the dance halls. But I was still afraid. That's the way the devil worked in my life before I was a Christian. And the night I was saved, and I told you something about it on Sunday night, the 13th of September 1976, in an old tent on the Brownstown Road. And I never met the preacher before. And this is what the preacher said as I sat in the meeting. Was the Lord not speaking to me when he said this? I believe he was. He says, your friends will laugh you into hell, but they'll never laugh you out. And my friend, the Lord spoke to me that night, and I determined that my friends would not laugh me into hell. I determined that from that night on I would walk with the Lord and be saved. That night I got saved. But the devil is so subtle, he'll use the simplest little thing to stop people from coming to Christ. I know men, and they didn't get saved for years because of a cigarette. I know of those who wouldn't give their lives to the Lord because of a drink or because of a dance. Or because of some worldly activity. And it's nothing but the lie of the devil, nothing but the opposition of hell. My friend, don't let anything or anyone stop you from coming to the Lord tonight. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. The Lord Jesus died upon the cross. He shed his precious blood on the middle tree on Golgotha's brow. And praise God, when the Lord Jesus died on the cross and shed his blood upon the cross and cried, "It is finished," he bruised the head of the serpent. Once and for all. And thank God, because of that work of redemption on the middle tree in Golgotha's brow, because of the work that was accomplished, Satan's defeated. The devil's defeated tonight. And praise God, you and me, we can go free because of the blood that he shed upon the middle tree. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. And the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, can cleanse you from all sin. You have a desire to hear the word. But the devil is going to try and snatch away the word. He's going to try and catch it away. He's going to try and put it out of your mind. But my friend, don't let him do that tonight. Don't let him do that. Come to Christ. And you will receive the victory because of the cross. Let us all pray.